Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
It's a Wednesday, and we are absolutely jammed today. Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio and right here on FS1. Everybody from Chris Collins were stopped by today, Nick Wright, Joel Klatt, Gerald McCoy of the Cowboys, hurt but has opinions on what we're seeing in Dallas. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, it does appear the NBA season is coming to an end, and not a shock, LeBron's going to get more plaques and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The heat is off. That was a great game, though, last night.
It was really good. It was really good. Really
entertaining.
So LeBron's had some bad breaks, and I think in life, you know, I tell my kids, you're going to get good breaks, you're going to get bad breaks. I don't want to hear victimization. Listen, sometimes things go your way, sometimes they don't. Head down, fight through it. Nobody wants to hear you whine. LeBron's had some bad breaks in the NBA. Number one, he got drafted by Cleveland. In any sport, that's generally not good news. Number two, he walks into the NBA, and about halfway through it, it becomes a three-point shooting league. He's a forward. That's for wings and guards, right? That's not great for a 6'9 and a half freight train. Kevin Durant, after he beats the Warriors, goes to Golden State and creates a dynasty. That's not great. Oh, by the way, he goes to the finals once in Cleveland. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love both get hurt. His second and third best player. He goes to the Lakers, and the front office implodes. He's had some bad breaks he's had to overcome. This year, he got the breaks. The dynasty broke up. The Clippers got knocked out of the playoffs. Anthony Davis is the healthiest for the longest stretch of his entire career. And in the finals, the Miami Heat have kind of fallen apart. He got a young team. Goran Dragic is out. Bam is playing 75-80%. Finally, LeBron got some breaks. Now, he took advantage of those breaks. He right now leads the Lakers in points, rebounds, assists, and everything. And it is still absolutely remarkable that if you take LeBron off this Laker roster, it's the 2017 New Orleans Pelicans. It's a mismatch of too old, not good enough, disparate, odd, strange parts that sometimes don't look like they should be in the same town together. But he makes it work. He is the leader of the only, singularly only veteran team that did well in the playoffs. Milwaukee folded. Houston folded. The Clippers folded. So it is still absolutely remarkable. But he's had a career drafted by Cleveland. KD goes to the Warriors, becomes a three-point shooting league. Lakers implode when he gets there. Goes to the finals. Kyrie and Kevin Love both get hurt. He's had bad breaks. He's had really bad breaks. This year, he got all of them, and he has taken advantage of them. And last night, with about 6.5 minutes to go, Rondo, LeBron, and Anthony Davis, the veterans who are all elite defenders when they want to be, clamped down on the kids. This was one of the first playoff games that really looked like a non-bubble playoff game. 83-83, it's all even. And LeBron says, all right, I'm going to score or assist on every Laker basket going forward. My entire life, last night, 7 minutes to go, is what playoffs look like. The young, spunky, athletic, fun Miami Heat, the young kids face AD and LeBron and Rondo, and the grown men, the grown-ups, their body language changes. Their intensity changes with about 6.5 minutes to go, and they are all over the kids. It's like, all right, Dad woke up from his nap. All right, here we go, and the Lakers clamp down. LeBron afterwards, one game away from another championship.
When I woke up from my nap, this morning after our team meeting, I just felt that vibe. I felt that pressure. I felt like for me personally, this was one of the biggest games of my career. And just wanted to relay that message to my teammates, the type of zone I was in, type of moment it was. It's just my mindset. Kind of still in it. Obviously, my mind kind of working right now.
One game to go. One more title. Third team. Fifth head coach to the finals. The greatest professional basketball career, I didn't say player ever, about to be culminated in the bubble. Then he flies home out of the bubble. And hopefully, although it's been done well, we never have to deal with an NBA bubble again. Well. Let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys, if we could, for a second. You know, there are certain people, politicians and cult leaders, who are really good at looking you in the eye and lying. I've never myself been able to do it. I've often joked I could never be an actor. Like me or not, here's what I think. How it lands is a you problem. But politicians and cult leaders are just great at it. They're just selling you stuff they know is not true. Add to that the owner of the Dallas Cowboys and the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones and Mike McCarthy, who are trying to convince you, despite what you're seeing, this defense is very close. This is very good. It's just a tweak here. And Troy Aikman yesterday on Dallas radio would have absolutely none of it.
To me, I'd be embarrassed as a player to put that kind of performance on film that's going to be seen by your peers for the rest of the season. It was just not very good. And I know Mike Nolan is in the firing line right now. But, you know, over the years, you could always point to the way that the Cowboys played defensively. I mean, they played with great effort. You know, they just flew around 11 guys and didn't always play great, but it was always there on film as far as the effort level. And I mean, I didn't see one guy on defense that I'd say had a good game. And the last touchdown that Odell Beckham scored when they'd cut it to 3 points, you know, they had all the momentum. If they make a stop there defensively, they probably win the game.
There's almost a certain art to it. To be this delusional and try to convince us of what we're seeing is not true. As Troy pointed out, on that reverse to Odell Beckham, there were multiple Cowboy players just sort of jogging like it was practice and they weren't in really good shape in Oxnard yet. It was brutal. It was brutal. There's a delusion to it. We have an owner, his son, and the head coach, and nobody is buying it. The players aren't buying it. You can tell they're not engaged. You can't fool the athletes. They know who's to believe in. I mean, this is why Belichick makes Cam work. Cam comes in, independent personality, and he buys into everything Belichick's selling because you know it's honest and authentic because it's worked for 20 years. That's why New England's working. That's why when you see new coaches go to new staffs like Kyle Shanahan to San Francisco, you know, players are asked to do a lot, but they buy in because they can see it's working. You can look at the Cowboy players. They're not buying into Mike Nolan, who was kind of a journeyman linebacker coach, landed in New Orleans, nobody giving him a DC job, and Mike McCarthy got hired by him years ago, so did him a favor. It is a disaster. Said it yesterday. Hire slowly, fire quickly. Move off it. Okay, we know what's going to happen this weekend. Dallas is going to beat the New York Giants, who have scored 3 offensive touchdowns all year. And Mike McCarthy is going to come out and say, you know, we're a little more buttoned up. I thought we had a good week of practice. We're buttoned up. Good week of practice. I thought we really showed some growth here. No, you face the New York Giants here. But you can't keep BSing people. The 4 quarterbacks that have faced the Dallas Cowboys this year, if you put their statistical averages all together, it's Patrick Mahomes' season averages. They're making every quarterback Patrick Mahomes. And I like Jared Goff and Matt Ryan. They're not Patrick Mahomes. So they're going to play. The Cowboys are going to play over the next couple of weeks. The New York Giants, who can't score offensive touchdowns, and Washington, that just benched their starting quarterback. And Arizona, which is kind of a mess right now on both sides of the ball, though they have talent. And Dallas is going to convince you they had a good week of practice and they've got it buttoned up and the momentum's on their side and it will be the same old delusion. They're trying to convince us, like politicians and cult leaders, something we know is not true. is definitively true.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I kind of believe Tom Brady's had a 20-year NFL career, and I think for about the first 15 or 16, he was the same quarterback. Early in his career, he was a little raw, and then he had about 13 years of amazing. And then the last 4 years, I feel like I see the same guy. He can't make that deep out throw. That's where the pick sixes come from. But he can make any throw down the seam, any throw deep. He's still great at the line of scrimmage. There's like a one throw, unless he really gets planted and the weather's perfect. He's got a little jet stream behind him. He doesn't make that deep out throw quite as good as he once did. The ball floats, it gets picked, and returned. Outside of that, again, his career is sort of like raw first 3 years, won a Super Bowl, but raw, great for about 11, 12, 13. And then the last four, I feel like I get the same guy. He does kind of get tired later in years. December, he doesn't quite have the velocity. But can we stop with the arm thing with Tom Brady? It's still better than a big chunk of NFL quarterbacks. PFF, Pro Football Focus, came out. Tom has 16 what they grade as big-time throws right now. Most in the NFL. I thought he was a system quarterback. I thought his arm was shot. This arm was shot thing. His arm gets tired in December. Drew Brees, his arm is shot. Phillip Rivers, Tom Brady, he can't make the deep out throw like he did about 5 years ago. Outside of that, and think about this. He's just scratching the surface. Mike Evans, receiver, bad hamstring, ankle issues. Chris Godwin missed starts. Leonard Fournette just got there, now he's hurt. Gronk learning the offense and a rookie right tackle. They are just scratching the surface with this offense. They're taking baby steps. I've bet them every single weekend. They do have moments offensively where they're just not in sync. But when they get in sync in every game, I've watched them. And on national TV, we watched them the first week and we just bailed on them. But they had no preseason. Since then, they've gotten better every week and nobody's watching because they go up against Cowboy games or they go up against sexier games. So tomorrow, they take on the Bears and we're all going to watch them and you're going to see what I believe is a team that has a Super Bowl shot with a Super Bowl winning quarterback. And here's another thing. Here's another number to throw out there. Bruce Arians, a lot of people were like, well, Tom's arm is fading, and Bruce Arians demands, always has, you throw the ball down the field. So Pro Football Focus went and looked this up. This is fascinating. The most turnover-worthy plays in a single season in the last 15 years. Jameis Winston, Carson Palmer, and Andrew Luck all had 40, tied for the most. It was all in their first year under Bruce Arians. What does that tell you? Bruce is rough on quarterbacks for the first year because he demands Winston, Carson Palmer, Andrew Luck. Two of those three are going to get Hall of Fame votes, right? Like, Bruce Arians demands throw the ball down the field. Tom Brady had no OTA with this team, no preseason. Mike Evans has been hurt. Chris Godwin's been out. Leonard Fournette just got there. A rookie right tackle. Now, by the way, O.J. Howard out for the year. Gronk still learning the offense. And it's not like they've had an easy schedule. You know, they had to go to Denver. That's an above-average defense. They had to open with the Saints. Like, it's not been that easy for them. And then they have the Bears, by the way, a top-10 defense, top-8 defense tomorrow night. But, you know, I just don't buy into a lot of these narratives that start. It's like it was the old Russell Westbrook was valuable. And I was like, no, he's everything except valuable. He's the only thing he's not is valuable. Great, athletic, fun, worth the price of admission, sensational, but valuable? No, every team he leaves gets better, and every player that leaves him gets better. Russell Westbrook is everything, checks every box. He's not valuable. That's not what Houston would get rid of his contract today. Tom Brady, you can criticize a lot, like, you know, not very athletic. You can't move the pocket a ton with him. You know, he can be a little prickly. If you're a young receiver and he doesn't trust you, he'll ghost you. He won't throw to you. But the arm thing, the other thing is Brady and Peyton Manning are brilliant. They chose at the end of their careers the places to go to. Where does a golf ball travel further? Where does a punt travel further? Denver. Why do you think one of the reasons Peyton Manning chose it? Easier to throw a football in high altitude. Why did Tom Brady choose Florida? Because when you get old, that's where old people go. The warm weather makes you feel good. You can stay limber. You don't have Foxborough winters. Brady has chosen very smartly. He chosen the city, the coach, the weapons, and they're getting better, and they're on with the Chicago Bears tomorrow night.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I like my presidents to be presidential. Not a huge fan of the current guy. I like a little presidential, a little refined, a little humble. I like my quarterbacks to be quarterback eel. Russell Wilson, Tom Brady. Refined, humble, credit to others. But I'm kind of over it. In social media, let's tear down the icons and let's be falsely humble about people nobody cares about. Everybody that's irrelevant is suddenly fascinating, and all the icons who are relevant are just overpaid and overrated. I'm over it. So I'm okay with Aaron Rodgers saying this yesterday, and he said this on a podcast on the Pat McAfee Show. Here it is.
You know, I sometimes laugh when people talk about, you know, down years for me, because a lot of times down years for me are career years for most quarterbacks.
Yes! 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 Hey! That was awesome.
Hey, wow. It's just the facts, bro.
That's funny. And I'm okay with it. Like, I'm okay with it. Aaron Rodgers, 2 times MVP, Super Bowl. He just got a divorce publicly with, Mike McCarthy. McCarthy is drowning. He's drowning. And Aaron Rodgers is not. He's flourishing. And if he's feeling himself, it's okay. Yesterday, Howard Stern signed a $120 million contract. All the losers came out of the woodwork. Oh, you could have 200 podcasts for that. Oh, gosh, what the world needs. 200 more podcasts nobody listens to. There's 10 sports podcasts in America that have an audience. I have one. I don't need another podcast I won't listen to. I need Howard Stern, or I don't listen to XM Sirius. Their stock went up when Howard's contract was announced. My wife would not renew it without Howard. It's okay to acknowledge Howard's great. Oprah's great. Russell Wilson's great. Aaron Rodgers great. LeBron James great. Urban Meyer great. Nick Saban great. I'll give them once a year. I'll let them smoke a cigar and puff their chest and go, I'm pretty good. It's okay. Or you can prefer Twitter, where we're falsely humble and everybody that's irrelevant is, oh, you are so great. Not really. We don't need any more podcasts. You can shut it down right now. Howard's great. Aaron's great. I'm going to give them a little moment to flex, and we're all going to be okay, because it's authentic and honest. And isn't that what we want from our athletes? I like that Aaron Rodgers is honest. I got enough BSers in my life. I got enough politicians, enough people selling me nonsense. I got enough of that in my life. What I don't have is honesty. That's what I want.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
He played 10 years in the NFL and is still playing. He's a free agent now. 6 of the 10 years, he was voted a Pro Bowler with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who now have a new quarterback and are doing well themselves. And Gerald McCoy, who was a Cowboy until he was injured, again, he is a free agent, is joining us live right now. They are the most talked about defense in the NFL. Troy Aikman said, listen, man, I would be embarrassed to have that stuff on film and go into the meetings this week and have players call, you know, it's embarrassing. So I watched that this week against Cleveland, and this was my criticism, Gerald. You knew Cleveland was going to run.
Right.
You knew that. And they kept getting the edge for 3 hours. Nick Chubb got hurt. They still got the edge. In your opinion, why didn't they adjust?
Well, I wouldn't say that they didn't adjust. I just think the adjustments didn't work. And to speak on what Troy Aikman said, he says it would be embarrassing to go into that meeting room and have to watch the film. I'm pretty sure they are embarrassed. You know, one of their own said that their play was soft. You know how hard it is as a grown man and professional what you do, to call what you just did, the performance you just had soft. You know, that takes a lot of ownership. So I'm pretty sure they're not sitting in the meeting room, hyped about what they've been doing over the first 4 games, the first 4 weeks. But I believe in these guys. You know, they have a bunch of vets in the room on defense. And I believe they can turn it around, but it's not going to be easy. I'm not saying it's just going to happen this week, but something's got to give, man. You know, the play that stood out to me the most was the Odell play. You know, you have a chance to go up, or you have a chance to get a stop to try and tie the game or even go up. And, it's just Odell bent it back, 15 yards, I think it was, something like that, you know. And it just, at that point, when the game's on the line, I'm sure they all know, and I'm sure they walked in the meeting room and said, our effort has to be better. That's not the effort we need when we're trying to get back in the game. And I'm not saying nothing that I'm pretty sure that they already are not saying to themselves, but it's just clear. You know, the effort just has to be better on that play. And these guys play hard, but that particular play just stood out as far as effort goes.
Yeah, no, that I think you saw and I saw it. You could just turn the TV on and see it. So Mike Nolan's the new defensive coordinator. People are saying his system is too complicated. Could that be it? You know it. You were there. Is it too complicated?
I wouldn't say that it's complicated. It's up front, you know, in the back end, they have a few more checks to make. But up front, it's not super complicated. You know, I think the misconception is, you know, he's bringing in guys and having them do things that they're not used to doing. You know, the ends, you see Alden stand up because that's what he does. But Alden can put his hand in the dirt if he want. He can stand up. D-Law can stand up. He can put his hand in the dirt. They have that freedom. So when you see guys mixing it up, that's freedom of choice. You know, and up front, it's not really a lot to it. And it's just all about execution. You know, on the back end, they have a few more checks to make. But I don't think it's the scheme that's overly complicated. I just think the guys just not getting it done. And they realize that, you know, and they going to do everything and they try to fix it.
Gerald McCoy, 10 years, 6 Pro Bowls. He's a free agent. And boy, there's a lot of good teams out there like Baltimore and Seattle that could use his skills. So they have not been a fast starting team. And you've been in this league long enough. Some team, like New England, you go to Foxborough, and that first 15 plays, man, they are humming every single week. And Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, there are certain coaches, you just first 12 plays work. Why do you think Dallas is struggling offensively? They're getting into these holes, which doesn't allow Zeke to get 22 carries because you're playing catch up. Why? What, you've been on a lot of played in this league for a long time. Why do you think Dallas struggles for the first quarter to quarter and a half?
Well, honestly, I'm not sure because it's all about game plan. It's all about knowing what you see. Like if this was Tampa when I was there or Carolina when I was there, I could answer that question honestly. But not being there to see what the offense is doing throughout the week, I don't know. I'm not sure. But what I do know is NFL 101, it's hard to maximize a dominant running back when you fall behind. You know, people are saying, well, Zeke is not doing what we expect Zeke to do. Well, Zeke actually is doing what he's supposed to do. But when you fall behind, it's hard to give a guy like Zeke the ball over and over. You can't run the ball when you fall behind. You got to start passing. And Zeke is a ground and pound type running back. He wants those carries. Zeke wouldn't mind getting 30-plus carries a game. He wouldn't mind it because he loves to just grind defenses. But when you fall behind, you don't have that luxury, you know, and they just got to do a better job of starting fast.
By the way, he has a torn right quad. I assume torn right quad. So before we get on to my Buccaneers question, are you officially out for the year? Could you come back late in the playoffs, or where are you at with your recovery?
Yeah, I'm out for the season. I'm 7 weeks out as far as from my surgery. It's 7 weeks on Tuesday. But I'm ahead of schedule. I'm doing great, but it's no rush.
Okay.
You know, the doctors already said I'm out for the season, so what's the point rushing back, man? Come back as healthy as I can be and be the best me I can. But it's going to take some time, but I'm willing to do it. I go to rehab 5 days a week.
Wow.
I start roughly 8:30, 9 o'clock, and I'm leaving around 2 o'clock. So I'm all day, every day. This is what I do, and then I come home and do more stuff. it's all grind with me.
Gerald McCoy joining us. So you played in Tampa for 9 years. You know this organization. You really know the personnel. And we were saying before the season started, Gerald, that I think Todd Bowles is I think he's the best coordinator currently in the NFL. I think he's the best one. And I think their defense at the end of last year really, really played well, especially in the front seven. So I don't think it's a Brady story as much as it is a defensive story to this point. They shut the Chargers down in the second half. Are you surprised at all? Every week they look a little better. You're probably not surprised by their quick turnaround this year, I would imagine.
No, I'm not surprised by the defense because the offense was what people hyped up because of all the weapons they have. And obviously you have Tom Brady who's coming in, who we don't even have to talk about what he's been to this league. But the defense, with what they, how they were able to finish the season last season, they were already established. So this team was going to be carried by the defense to start the season. And once the offense started to develop, as you've seen on Sunday, they developed even more with Tom, you know, throwing five touchdowns. It's going to do nothing but get better. And I just have to say this. I would be remiss if I didn't say this. And anybody who knows me and knows my love for this particular player knows I have to say this. Lavonte David, okay? He was the player of the month, the defensive player of the month. And I think he is the most underrated linebacker we've ever had in this league. He doesn't get the accolades, but he has all the numbers. Go look at his TFLs. Lavonte David is second or third over the past 5 or 6 years or something like that. And he's in the conversation with J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald. This is Lavonte David we're talking about.
Yeah.
You look at his takeaways. You look at his tackles. He's not getting the all-pro votes, the Pro Bowl votes, but he's just as good as all of these guys. And if you ask around the league and bring up his name to any linebacker room, to any defense, and you say Lavonte David, they're going to say this exact same thing. So I'm so happy that the Bucs are on center stage and everybody is going to get to see. And the Bucs getting all the pub they've been getting over the first 4 weeks of the season. First 4 weeks, he's already player of the month. That should let you know what he's been doing. This is not new. This is who Lavonte has always been. And I personally think he's the best linebacker in football. This is me. And I believe that he's been playing at that level for a number of years, and it's going to do nothing but continue. I think he's very underrated. And if you just go look at the numbers, if you don't believe me, just go look at the numbers. And then the next game they play, you got tomorrow. Just watch the game and see if Lavonte David jumps off the screen. Just do that. Yeah. And then you tell me I'm wrong after that.
Now, you don't have to convince me. We talked about him in preseason. He is a complete baller. I will say one thing that surprised me. Cam Newton goes to New England, and it has been great. I think they would have beaten Kansas City Monday with Cam Newton. I am shocked how seamless it's been, how engaged he is. I think they're a nightmare. If they could get a vertical threat offensively, I would. If I was Kansas City, I'd have no interest playing Cam Newton in New England again at all. I think they're. Are you surprised at all how seamless? He didn't even have a preseason. He didn't have OTAs. He got there late. Are you surprised how effective it's been?
Me personally, I'm not. I played against Cam from the time he stepped in the league twice a year. And if you really pay attention to Cam Newton's career, over the last 3 years, the struggles have come from injury. Cam has been hurt. People are not paying attention to that. He's had shoulder surgeries. He's had shoulder issues. And last year, he just so happened to have a season-ending injury early in the season. So because he's had injuries, people have said his play has dropped. Well, a healthy Cam Newton, which he was, he tried to tell everybody he was healthy, is hell to deal with. And the thing that people don't understand about Cam is leadership cannot be measured. You can look at it, you say, oh, he's a leader, or the media say, well, this guy's the captain. Well, this guy's a leader. No, no. Leadership is very hard to measure. And Cam's leadership ability, his energy, Cam brings an energy that is unmatched. And the glue that Cam is what's holding this team together. And I think it showed on Monday. His presence not being around, they just didn't have the same type of energy. It just wasn't the same. Something felt different.
That's right.
Just his presence around that team is changing them. And I'm excited to see moving forward because I agree with you. I believe if Cam had played, they would have won that game.
Yeah, I think he's going to get an extension. I thought he was a rental player for a year. I watched Monday and I'm like, nope, he's going to get an extension. New England's too good to get a top 10 pick. I would sign him today to an extension for the next couple of years if I was the New England Patriots. I think he should.
I think he deserves it, and I believe it would be the right move.
Yeah. Hey, it's great seeing you. Out for the year, torn right quad. He'll be back soon enough, and there's a lot of teams out there, I think, that could give Gerald McCoy a look, buddy. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And as you can tell, I've been in a horrible mood. I'm not happy at all. Miserable, sitting back, watching football. I'm not smiling at all. Just everybody was wondering if I was sitting back miserable. Yeah, really miserable right now.
You look like a happy guy to me, man. Gerald McCoy.
Yes, sir.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I'm old enough to remember when Chris Collinsworth was a really fast, skinny kid who played wide receiver at Florida. Then he got drafted by Cincinnati and was one of the fastest guys in the league forever. And now he's a star, 16 Emmys, NBC Sports, Sunday Nights with Al Michaels, owner of Pro Football Focus, which is, we rely on it all the time. They make me watch guards in the NFL. That's an achievement, folks. Chris Collinsworth is now joining us live. First of all, congrats on all your success. And this week you got Russell Wilson, who I think is insane.
Yeah.
And he made my sister like football. She lives up in Seattle. When you watch the film of him, as you are doing right now, why does he make everybody work? Will Disley was a blocking tight end at Washington. He was a defensive end when he got to Seattle. And then all of a sudden they draft him and he catches passes. What is the gift that Russell Wilson has to elevate undrafted, gadget guy, project guy? What is it?
Time, man, he buys time back there. He just moves around and makes defensive linemen and linebackers chasing him look bad. Now, it's interesting what they started doing here lately is starting to blitz some cornerbacks so you can get athlete on athlete to try and bring him down. But as he's moving around and buying time, and the other thing, Colin, I love, as a matter of fact, you'll hear me talk about it some this week during the game, the more I've been watching him, you know how like he gets like 10, 11, 12 yards deep sometimes in his drop. And so when they're starting to come after him, he'll take off and sort of run towards the line of scrimmage. Now, if you're a linebacker or a strong safety, whatever, now you got to try and figure out, what are we going to do with this guy? Are we going to come up and try and make the tackle on him? Or are we going to try and just stay back in coverage? And no matter what you do, you're wrong. But it's so amazing to watch him. He looks like a shortstop getting it and throwing it across the diamond to first base. Of course, he played second base. So all those weird angle throws, he's just really something. But I think the thing that he does best is a deep ball. He puts so much arc on those deep balls. And you think about a guy like Metcalf going down the field, and now the defensive back's 5'10" and comes up to about his shoulder. And now he raises his arm up there, and that ball's coming in at that kind of trajectory. I don't know how you stop it. I really don't.
I was rooting for Carson Wentz Sunday. I like him a lot. I think he's got mental fatigue. They've lost receivers for three straight years. Philadelphia's tough on its quarterbacks. He's lost Frank Reich. I still believe in him. Has there been a moment in the last year or two that maybe you didn't, that something that you were worried that it wasn't working?
I think mentally you got to keep your eye on people who are playing without their team intact. I mean, you look at that offense. I've never seen anything like it. I'd never seen the entire receiving core, minimum the first three, arguably the top four receivers on that team, gone. Three of the starting offensive linemen in the game were gone. Then Lane Johnson got hurt during the game. I mean, you're talking about 8 of the 10 teammates that he thought he was going to have going into the season not being out there and not being ready to play. I thought in many ways Carson took the game over.
Yeah.
I mean, he was out scrambling and he was running. That's what he did against the Bengals. And everybody said, you know, the Bengals, oh, they tied the Bengals. That's horrendous. The tie against the Bengals now has them in first place. So I've seen Carson Wentz make way too many plays to write him off at such a young age. Now, do I think that's possible between his knee and his back injury, you know, that he's not quite physically where he was when he came in? Maybe. I don't know. But I see him make too many great plays still to ever think that once this team gets back together that maybe they truly are. I just assumed the Cowboys were going to be the best team in this division this year. But here the Eagles are sitting on top, so who knows?
I said I thought Joe Burrow was going to be Tony Romo. He played like Romo. He looked like Romo. Both have good arms, not special. Burrow's better than I thought. I'm wrong. I think he's doing it with a below suboptimal offensive line. You live in Cincinnati. You know people on that staff. Are even they a tad surprised how good Burrow's been so far?
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Mike Brown believes that you have a quarterback and a chance, or you don't and you don't. In the 80s, we had two MVP quarterbacks in Kenny Anderson and Boomer Esiason. We went to two Super Bowls. And I think he thinks that's the magic formula. So when all these ridiculous offers were pouring in for Joe Burrow, Mike Brown said, no, baby, no. I know how I've got a chance to try and get back to another Super Bowl again. I think I've got a potential MVP in my pocket, and I'm going to play him. You know, the interesting thing about him is in college, he was known as the deep ball passer, one of the most accurate deep ball throwers going in the game. He hasn't even gotten that part of his game going yet.
Yeah.
So he's been magical. Top 10 quarterback in the 20 yards and less category. But we have not seen him really begin to hit some of those deep balls the way that he did at LSU. So I really look for him to get better. I think we're looking at the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, well, their offensive line has to get better, too, to throw those deep balls. So I actually have no problem with fewer deep balls right now. Aaron Rodgers is flourishing post-Mike McCarthy. You look at the film. Is it more multiple? Are there more variables? Is some of his success, the schemes are better? I mean, how do you explain it? I think his offensive line, the protection right now is real good, but what do you explain for his phenomenal last, 10, 12 games?
Well, and especially when you consider without Adams, without Lazard, that, he's just making it up on the fly now. One thing, it was interesting, and I forgot to ask him about it. I should have asked him when we did the game against the Saints. Was exactly what was different. He was saying that he had gone back and looked at himself and what was different. My opinion of what was different over the last couple of years is the fact that he was not holding the ball as long. He had gotten to the point where every play was a little like Russell Wilson, where he wanted to get up and step up and through and buy time and create space and all that kind of stuff. But I think now he's got the double-edged sword going here. Now, not only is he still creative with those plays where he's buying time and stepping up and through, he's gotten back to what he once was, which is let's get rid of the ball at least 50% of the time in 2.5 seconds or less, which is sort of the dead in the middle, right? So let's get back, boom, and then get back, boom, and get back, boom. And now all of a sudden the pass rushers, you think about it from their standpoint. If they know you're going to scramble and try and step up and through, what are they doing? They're going, they're peeking, they're doing their fancy moves because they might have 4 seconds to rush the passer. You start throwing it in under 2.5 seconds, you turn everybody into a bull rusher. They have no choice. They got to try and go right down the middle of those offensive linemen. So the blocks get easier, the passes get easier. Now when you start to scramble and move, it's something unique. It's something different. It's another creative edge that he has. And the other part of it is that with nobody in the stands, this guy's the smartest guy playing quarterback in the league. I mean, every time we meet with him, he absolutely blows me away with his memory, with he can recall sequences. We can call out a game from 2013. You remember in the third quarter, and we've already looked it up, right? Al's already looked it up. We've gone through the sequence, and he goes, oh, yeah, we started with that little slant, and then we hit the hitch and go on the sideline. It blows you away. So now when you get in the stadium and there's nobody there, and he can communicate, and he goes, hut, hut, and these guys jump off sides, and the safety comes down to this side, and that linebacker starts to fall off, and he goes, ha, I know what it is. All right, Lazard, go ahead and run a slant for me right here, and boom, they can hit it. The smarter guys, the guys that know their offense inside and out, the guys that know how to communicate at the line of scrimmage, they're gaining a huge advantage. So I think in this year, we're seeing the great quarterbacks separate even a little bit more.
Owner of Pro Football Focus, 16 sports Emmys. I only got about a minute left. Did you major in broadcasting in Florida?
No, I majored in accounting. How boring is that? Then I got my law degree. And so that's it.
Wow, you got your law degree. Never practiced, though, right?
How about that?
You got your law degree in Florida?
At the University of Cincinnati, it took me 5 years, and the number one thing I learned in law school was that I didn't want to be a lawyer.
That's funny. You're not the first guy to say that, though, I bet. That's no fun compared to what you're doing now. He's got a podcast with All-Pro Richard Sherman. They've teamed up weekly podcasts. Second one's coming up, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Say hi to Al. Absolute pleasure. We'll be watching Sunday night, Chris.
Good talking to you, pal.